Diese Podcast-Episode wird präsentiert von H2Hub. H2Hub ist der europäische Hub für Wasserstoff-Startups. Er vernetzt Gründer mit Unternehmen, Investoren und Forschungseinrichtungen in der Welt des Wasserstoffs. Warum? Um die Entwicklung innovativer Wasserstoffideen voranzutreiben. Bei Veranstaltungen bietet er Startups aus Europa und Israel sowie Unternehmen die Möglichkeit, sich auszutauschen und zu vernetzen. Im eigenen Accelerator-Programm Sprint und Bootcamp profitieren Startups von maßgeschneiderten Coachings mit Mentoren und Industrieexperten. Weitere Informationen zu den Events und Programmen des H2Hub auf www.h2ub.com. Herzlich willkommen an der Hydrogen Bar. Wir freuen uns, dass ihr auch in dieser Woche wieder eingeschaltet habt für eine neue Folge des Podcasts rund um die Themen Wasserstoff und Brennstoffzelle. Johannes ist auch wieder da und heute wieder eine Folge des H2Hub Startup Specials. Hallo Johannes, freut mich, dass du es wieder geschafft hast.
Hallo Martin, ja, freut mich auch, dass wir wieder hier sind und wir gehen wieder auf Englisch.
Ja.
We have again Flore here. Thank you very much for coming by into our podcast, and it's very nice to talk to you again and continue the discussion that we started last time already.
Sehr gerne.
So this week, Johannes, you switched languages.
We switched back. No.
In the middle of a sentence, which is really.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And try to be innovative. You know?
So thank you very much from my side as well, Flore. It's great to have you here again. We have had some technical problems right now, so I hope the recording will work fine. So, yeah, just to warn our listeners, if the audio quality of this episode is not on the same level as you are used to listen to the Hydrogen Bar podcast, please don't be annoyed. We hope everything will be fine and we will do our best. I hope the issues are solved finally. So, yeah, so let's start, Flore. Thank you very much for coming again, for visiting us again here at the Hydrogen Bar. Last week, we talked about your personal story, of course, and why you have founded Point 12 and what was the idea and the vision behind that. And in this week, as always, we want to have a closer look on the market, on the market perspective, and we want to see what your view on the global hydrogen economy and on the global hydrogen system is. And I think if I remember correctly, last week we briefly talked about the problem that the usual way of certifying a product is not very scalable. So you have mentioned last week that certification is a lot of manual work, it's a lot of paperwork, and it takes a lot of time, and it's a lot of documentational effort and all of these aspects. And so this is limiting, of course, the scaling up of the system. And I think you at Point 12, you think or you believe that you have found a solution for that. And in order, of course, to scale up your product, your system internationally as well. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. We have a global perspective at Point 12 because we're really driven to solve real problems. And one real problem is that everybody seems to want, every region, every bigger partner seems to want to create their own certification standard, which is very problematic. I mean, you know, you count more than 12, I think we counted between 12 and 15 at the moment of competing standards and schemes globally. That's really an issue, right? Hydrogen is set to become an internationally traded commodity. And for this, you need to have the infrastructure in place. And infrastructure is not only physical infrastructure, it's also a regulatory infrastructure that enables this international trade. And I give you one example, but how do you do it, right? So there starts to be the first MOUs between Australian green hydrogen producers or African or Latin American green hydrogen producers that want to ship the commodity to be consumed in the EU. So Australia has their own geo scheme. Egypt, is creating their own guarantee of origin scheme. So what is the value of this foreign geo scheme? It will take years until the EU can settle on a fixed list of accredited foreign schemes that are valid with the standards of the EU. Also because the EU has the most ambitious set of standards for certification on renewable fuels. So interoperability of schemes is a major theme, and we're challenging ourselves from the start in the way we design from the start the technology so that we can enable interoperability. Don't want to go too much into technical detail, but a core component of our technology, which goes in this direction, is what we call the digital product passport. And this is basically our way of saying, hey, you know, you cannot build your production asset in a way that you make yourself completely dependent on the offtake from Europe or Asia. So we are collecting as much operational data as might be required by any certification scheme worldwide, which is relevant for this one plant. And this entire set of sustainability-related data is contained in this digital product passport, which virtually travels with the commodity. And if you want, once the commodity comes at one point of time, one peculiar point in the life cycle or in the value chain, then there might be a need for a certain type of certificate. Then, you know, someone can take their certifier's glasses and say, hey, now, you know, this batch needs to be certified with Red Cert or an ISCC.
Yeah.
Or now, you know, this batch needs to go through the carbon border adjustment mechanism. So you put on the glasses, you package only the data which is required for this purpose, and you manage the back and forth. But future-proofing means enabling the interoperability. So we need from the start to have a global perspective, and we cannot think nationally or even regionally only. It needs to be a global perspective.
Do you think there will be some like merging together of these like regional schemes? The one point in time, there will be one scheme that is valid across the world. I mean, the moment everybody is talking about kind of this, on nearshoring and kind of the division between the East and the West and China and US, and kind of that basically the multipolarity of the global world. I mean, this would basically say there will be even more different schemes coming up, and it's even more challenging to align them. Do you have the same view?
Yes.
There?
I mean, I share what I observe at the moment, looking at the market, and, you know, it's very important for us to keep track of all these developments. There are more and more schemes, right? So it would be desirable that one standard becomes global, but I think we're very far from that, and it's not even the trend at the moment. What I think will happen in the next years is that it will keep mushrooming, but each mushroom will start to consider other schemes. So EU schemes will be, EU itself and the EU Commission will start accrediting some international schemes and actually defining the equivalence between two types of certificates. So I think there will be more a set of rules that allow for exchanging, allowing for trade in the end of certificates, and what does one certificate in one region need in the other region. But I don't want to sound pessimistic, but I find it very, very unlikely that one standard eventually dominates.
Would you say that the reason for that is that the interests in different regions are so different? Because what I can imagine, of course, is that maybe here in Europe, and especially here in Germany, of course, we always have the highest ambitions and we want the cleanest and the greenest hydrogen that we can ever receive. And so our intention or our rule set could be relatively high and relatively strict. And on the other hand, you have regions where hydrogen is produced normally. And for example, such a region could be in Africa, for example. And the intention of producers in Africa might be to have the rule set not as strict as in Europe. because they have to factor in aspects like transport and storage and so on. So would you say that these rule sets that we see internationally are also very different from a technical point of view or from a political point of view? Or is it really just, a bureaucratic issue that every region wants to have their own rule set?
Yes. So I think in the end, it's always a matter of diverging interests. And I don't think bureaucracy is there just because, you know, there needs to be bureaucracy. There are always interests behind. And as you say, I think some, you know, there are lots of pushes globally in favor of hydrogen. Some governments push it for job creation and economic growth. Some push it because they're very serious about net zero. Some push it for energy security reasons. Europe is also looking at energy security. So, you know, there is always, you know, this trilemma of the energy transition, as we call it, right? So affordability and energy security and sustainability. And I think, unfortunately, these interests are not at all aligned, which means that schemes are not designed with the same objectives. And I think this won't change. That's also the beauty of the economy, is that it's about diverging interests. But yeah, the intentions behind global pushes for hydrogen are diverging largely. Mm-hmm.
That is a very fascinating thing, I think, like to say we have this diverging development in, across the world. Do you have a feeling how this will affect the development of hydrogen, now really focusing on the use, the production, the applications for hydrogen? Will this, from your point of view, rather inhibit an fast scale-up? Or is this something that doesn't really matter in the end?
Lack of harmonization hinders market ramp-up, that's for sure. And that's why some harmonization will take place. I think tools like digital product passports really help. And I think digital technology is extremely powerful when it comes to harmonizing and enabling dialogue between different languages, almost. So no, I think this is a major obstacle that we need to overcome, and technology is a major opportunity there.
So how do you prepare in point 12 for this international scale up of your business? Your company is still relatively young, of course. You mentioned last week that you have founded it, or I think the idea was born last year, right? And it's not so long.
Yes, that we are an early stage company.
Yeah. And on the other hand, you are already making very, very detailed plans, and you have a lot of ideas for international scale up and for scaling up your business. What is your plan for that? You have also mentioned last week that you see yourself as a business developer. So, this is something that you, I'm sure, we'll be able, of course, to answer in very much detail.
No, absolutely. We definitely have a global perspective. At the same time, we are very sober. We're still an early stage company. We're growing very fast, and we have more leads than we're able to cope with. So the key word for us is focus. And our way to focus is actually to focus on the needs of our customers. Mm-hmm. I'll come back to that, because it led us actually to create a new product line. And geographically speaking, we focus rather on producers that desire to export to the EU or domestic producers in EU for EU consumption. For the reason that I mentioned before, that EU rules and EU regulatory sandwich, if you want, is so intricate, so complex, that most people need help to navigate this complexity. About this new product line, what we discovered talking to customers is that, hey, yes, you know, once you're producing molecules, you definitely need help to streamline and spend resources smartly on getting your molecules certified as green. But actually, certification is such a business critical topic that it's a topic even before that a production plant is operational. And so we developed this, we call it C-Twin. So it's a sort of digital twin in the engineering and design phase of a plant where we help the users, so developers of hydrogen or derivatives projects, to actually run the check, right? So we ask them questions. So there are inputs based on the engineering layer. Okay, so where will the electricity come from the grid, from locally, from PPA? What is the electrolysis technology that you are using? What's your offtake plan? What are your commitments, etc.? And we screen the project for certification. And we basically provide answers like, hey, you know, are you checking the box for all renewable energy directives, delegated acts, constraints? So really educating and allowing before the asset is even live to also create trust and saying, yes, what will come out of this plant will be green with regard to this and that standard. And then going to the next level and saying, hey, you don't pass. You know, your carbon intensity is too high. We recommend that you design, you know, this part of the value chain slightly differently, or you procure, you know, X megawatt hours more of renewable electricity per year, or, you know, you increase the size of your on-site solar, etc. So it's really designed as a coach for certification before the asset is even operational. So long story short, huge opportunity globally, but we need to stay very truthful and close to the needs of our customers, which means that we're actually helping them even before the assets and the production assets are operational.
Mm-hmm. This brings me to like a small tangent, as you said, about the customers and how they plan before the production is getting online already. You probably have a lot of insight into how the market is developing, how these plans are advancing. And what we often hear and also read in some studies is that basically it's a lot of paperwork or plans, but not so much is really going into realization, or kind of that there is the bottleneck, that kind of is maybe people, companies waiting, seeing how the development is like and not yet really committing. And there's the question, like, how do you see this? And then maybe further also, how is it for you? Do you feel that there is a lot of also attention for your company, and it's easy then to get the funding because you are in the hydrogen area? Or is this hydrogen area like not important for getting funding, and it's more about being the tech company?
So first question, yes, most companies are struggling with reaching final investment decision. This is why we also developed this other product line of C-Twin to help them create trust around it. One of the main reasons is that most companies had the feeling that the regulatory landscape is changing so fast that they were really afraid, you know, they build something big and then somehow it's a stranded asset.
Yeah.
Because it does not produce the right set of molecules. Now there is increasing clarity. A lot of things have been published. The mandates are increasingly clear also on the demand side for the industry, for the maritime industry, for the aviation industry. So I think the pieces of the puzzle, are coming together increasingly. Yeah. So I think now it's more a matter of doing it a first time. And we're really at this tipping point where, you know, it's getting real and volumes will start to come online really in the next 3 to 5 years is when the slope of the curve is really increasing.
Mm-hmm.
On your question about, you know, being a startup in this field, I think there's a general excitement around hydrogen because people think, okay, you know, there's this, investors like to think about, you know, new frontiers and new product categories. And hydrogen is definitely a hot topic. There was some disappointment. I think there was definitely a craze in valuations of listed companies for hydrogen in the past 5 years. That calmed down a bit now because people reckon that there are some delays and it takes a lot of investment to come to really the high scale stage of the market. But there was a lot of excitement actually for what we're doing. I think for a set of reasons. One is that it's still a technology play, what we're doing, a software play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is something that investors understand better than, you know, an electrolysis technology
or yes.
storage technology. Deep tech and hardware tech is definitely harder to finance with.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, let's be honest, right? So we are rec tech, a sustainability tech, working on industrial decarbonization, which is a hot topic as well. And we have this huge driver of regulation pushing for some technology solutions, right? So when you says hourly temporal matching, the answer of the industry is we don't have the tools and we're bringing the tools. So, you know, we're not off topic, that's for sure. We're rather spot on. And I think we have a type of play which makes us understandable and for quite some desirable for venture capital firms.
Yeah, I see.
Okay, yeah. So thank you very much for sharing this insight with us and with our listeners. I think once again, we had a very, very interesting conversation and this was a very, very interesting episode also for our listeners. Is there anything that you want to share with us and our listeners in the end of this episode? So are there any events or milestones that you're looking forward to that you want to share here in the podcast with us?
I never come short of saying that we are always looking for talent. We're always looking for partners. And we're really keen on people spontaneously approaching us with some ideas and sometimes even without some ideas of what we do together. We need,
nice.
It's very ambitious what we're trying to do. So we need as many brains, as much talent as there is out there to succeed. So my main call to action is reach out. And yeah, even if you have some constructive feedback, we always welcome that. We are also hiring. We are also hiring quite intensively out of Munich. So if you think you might have an interesting profile, always reach out and don't look for the job desks. We're very, very open for talent. So I hope I get some touch points from that.
Absolutely. Yeah, so
very good.
Listeners, if you would like to reach out, you know, of course, that you can use the email address or the contact form. You can find the contact form on the website, which is, of course, hydrogenbar.net. At the email address, as always, it's contact@hydrogenbar.de. Sorry. Yeah. So it's, of course, the German word for contact. So yeah. I'm sure you will find out.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Martin and Johannes. It was a very pleasant discussion.
Yeah, thank you very much, Flora. It was really interesting. Thank you for all the insights you shared. And yeah, I hope we then have the chance to talk later again when you can share even deeper insights that you created with your software product now.
With pleasure.
Okay, so we'll have another few episodes of the H2 Hub Startup Special in a couple of weeks. So stay tuned for that. For this week, we would like to thank you for listening, of course, and we look forward to hearing you again next week. And of course, we are happy if you tune in for the next week's episode again. And until then, have a nice week and we hear each other soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye.